I'd like to invite you this morning to take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter number 2. We will be looking at the first three verses of Hebrews chapter number 2. I've titled this morning's sermon, Only One Way to a Happy Eternity. There is a happy eternity and there is a sad eternity. The word eternity means everlasting, non-stop, forever and ever and ever. There is only one way to a happy eternity. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank You for another blessed opportunity to read Your Word again, to glean from the words of everlasting life, which give us as we put our faith and trust in You. I ask, Lord, that You help me to speak plainly and clearly. Remember my words. Help me, Lord, to remember the words You've laid on my heart. Help me to be the servant, not just behind the pulpit, but the servant each and every day that You have called me to be. I pray, Lord, that You be with each member here, that You help them to be the servant that You have called them to be. I pray, Lord, anybody under the sound of my voice, as they are a servant of You, that You help them to be the servant that they need to be. Help them to be the servant that is a witness to a lost and dying world, that this world might come to know You, that they might have that happy eternity with You. I ask again You forgive us of our sins and shortcomings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Anytime you see the word therefore, you have to go back and recognize what therefore is talking about. In chapter 1 of Hebrews, if you'll back up, the subject of the therefore was what was being taught and spoken to people through the angels of God. In verse number 14, are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? God's angels are designed, God's messengers are designed to help us, to give us understanding and knowledge of Jesus Christ and His purpose, which gives everlasting life to each and every one of us. Therefore, because of the ministering spirits of the angels, we ought to give the more earnest heed. That earnest heed is a super abundantly more frequent. Super abundantly. You ever had too much of something? Well, you can never have too much of the Word of God. The more we have, the more we want, the more we learn, the more we grow, the more we want to grow. You can never have too much. The Word of God is made up of 66 books of what we call the Old and New Testament. 66 books. Messengers of God wrote this word which God authored. This is not man's interpretation. This is the word of God. The ministering spirits have given us the word of God. We are to have the more earnest heed for the word of God, to do to the things which we have heard. Most of us have spent numerous times in a church under a speaker, a preacher, or a teacher learning the Word of God. all the things that we have heard. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Beginning at verse number 1. Down through verse 9. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto thy statutes and unto thy judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandment of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor, for all the men that follow Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But when ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. I don't mean to stop, but I have to stop when I see a certain word that just sticks out. Anytime you see me, if you were to ask me for my wallet, no matter where I am, it's in my pocket. You know why? Because I keep it. That's keeping. The Word of God is the same way. Keep the Word, not just the physical Bible. You know, just I carry one in my lunchbox, you know, and just a little New Testament Bible in my lunchbox. When it says keep it, that don't mean just have it. That means know what's in it. I know what's in it. If you ask me about what's in my wallet, I'll tell you what's in it without even looking. I know what's in it. Here in this verse, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding, in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep, there's that word keep again, keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Turn with me to Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3, in verse number 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear. In all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to do the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I would like for you to turn over to Luke, and we're going to look at the parable that Jesus had on the seed. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Whoops. Luke chapter number 8. Beginning at verse number 14. In this explanation of the parable of the sower, we're going to look at what happens to the Word of God when it is not grounded deeply in each and every one of us. Verse 11 reads, now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. You and I have the Word of God in front of us. We take the Word of God home with us. We read the Word of God each and every day. We pray to the Lord God each and every day. But the seed, the Word of God, those by the wayside are they that hear. There's a lot of people hearing. They hear. It goes in one ear and goes rumbling around somewhere and then comes on out. They hear the Word of God, then cometh the devil. The devil is smarter, he's greater, he's wiser than you are. And if God is not leading you, you will be led by the devil. The devil cometh and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Verse 13. The seed, it says, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. You ever seen somebody hear the word of God and it just makes them excited? I've seen people get excited, walk the aisle, tell the church they're saved, get baptized, and then never enter the door of a church again. I've seen that happen. I don't know if you have. The word came, it struck them deep. They were in the moment, the emotion of the moment, but it was like planted on a rock. They receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they heard it, go forth and choked with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit unto perfection. There are people that have a life that's so ungodly that when they come to hear the Word of God and they become saved, they go right back to the godly life because they don't want to leave it because they were happy there, and the Word of God gets choked out by the world. Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 18. Take heed therefore now ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. We ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Not let the rocks choke it out, not let the thorns of life choke it out. Let it plant deeply, and the only way I ever seen a plant grow, if it was in good soil and it was watered daily and the roots went down and they had place to root in. The Word of God in verse 2 says, if the Word of God spoken by angels was steadfast. You know what steadfast means? It's a sure thing. Does everybody here know they're going to die? You know what? That is a sure thing. Does everybody know sitting here today that they're alive? That is a sure thing. Am I nervous today? That is a sure thing. So if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, the messengers of God, they were created by God to be ministering servants of God, and they speak the truth over and over and over again. The prophets in the Old Testament over and over again speak. In the New Testament over and over again they speak and they teach and they present Jesus Christ. If the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression... You know I'm a sinner. You know you're a sinner. You know, because you're a sinner, you have transgression. You have transgressed against God when you were born. You didn't do anything, but you were born because you were born a sinner, because the Adam nature was passed down to you from the father of the sin nature, which would have been Adam. Every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel, Daniel. I figure by the time I get there, you guys will already be there. Ezekiel chapter number 28. Beginning at verse number 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying... You know what conviction is? You ever been convicted of something that you know it's something right to do, and you just... because it's deep down... I have... This is just an illustration. I have walked by and seen something, piece of trash in the floor, and have been convicted to pick it up and not pick it up and keep walking, and the conviction got so strong as I'm walking I had to turn back around and go pick it up. That's conviction. But there's times that I've surpassed that conviction and just kept going. We've all done it. I'm just trying to give you an illustration of what conviction is. Take up a lamentation. Verse number 12 of Ezekiel 28. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God. You know, when you hear thus saith the Lord God, that's not something that's a possibility of right, could be right. This is a sure thing. Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. He's talking about Satan, that deceiver, that devil. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardas, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in the days from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee, and by the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up before because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled the sanctuary of the multitude of thine iniquities by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee, and they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. The transgression of Satan, because of his transgression, he will spend an eternity, not in a happy ever after, he's going to spend eternity in a lake of fire. God said so. His reward will be hell. Everyone who chooses not Jesus Christ, their reward will be hell. Turn with me to Jude, verse number 3. Jude, verse number 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly, that's that word, I like to use the word, I think of the word keep, earnestly, never lose it, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained of this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but after their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. There is only one way to a happy eternity, and that is not the way of Satan in eternal fire, but it is the way of Jesus Christ, the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Verse number 3 in our text of Hebrews chapter number 2. How shall we escape? It's a sure thing for Satan and the followers of Satan to spend eternity in hell. It's a sure thing for those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus to have a happy eternity and spend it with Jesus. How shall we escape? Hebrews chapter 10 in verse number 29. Of how much sore, you guys got that word sore? You guys read that? I'm not sure I'm saying it right. You know what a sore is? You ever have a sore in your hand? It hurts really bad. How much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. There is no escape of everlasting fire without the only way of salvation into a happy eternity, which is through Jesus Christ our Lord. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Turn with me to John chapter 3 and verse number 16. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through Jesus, the Son of God, might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. The believer in Jesus Christ has a happy home in eternity. But he that believeth not is condemned, and he will burn in eternity in the lake of fire with Satan and his angels. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In John chapter 14 and verse number 6. Jesus had a conversation with a man whose name was Thomas. Thomas had questions. You know, when people have questions and you're talking to Jesus and God, he always has the answer. And it's the perfect right answer. Jesus told Thomas, he said, I am the way to what? A happy eternity. I am the truth. There is no other truth but me. I am the life. That life is the everlasting life. It's a sure thing this body is going to die. But there is a spirit within this body that's going to live somewhere. It's either going to be in eternity with Jesus. It's going to be in hell, Hades, the place of torment that burns forever with Satan. No man cometh to the Father, the happy eternity, but by me. Jesus is the only way to a happy eternity. If we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by him that heard him. This morning, you guys are hearing the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God's breathed Word. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? John chapter 10, last verse, two verses of the day. Verse number 10. John 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill. How many of us lock your door when you go to bed at night? Why do you do that? Because you know that there are people out there that want to steal from you. There are people out there that do not care about your life. That's why you lock your door. That's why you lock your car. That's why before you go to bed, you always walk to the window and look outside before you go to bed. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But thank God, I am come that they might have life, a happy eternity. They might have it, life, and not just life, but that they might have it more abundantly. If you are a saved child of God, and you are unserving, unworshiping, unprayerful, unthankful, floating by, if you're saved, you'll spend eternity in that happy home. But God wants you to not only spend eternity in that happy home, He wants you to be the servant that He has designed you to be. Not just get saved, get swept by fire, but be the servant that He has designed you to be. The only way that you are capable of doing that is first and foremost, if you're not saved, get saved. After you're saved, let the Lord guide you. And as He guides you, follow. Trust Him. In fact, does not the Scripture say, in all thy ways acknowledge Him and He will guide your path? A lot of people don't know where to go. I don't know where to go. Follow Him He will direct your path. I'll give you an illustration before I stop. I drive a service truck. Sometimes there is a way I can go to a job site, and sometimes I think about that way and I go a different way, and then I find out later that way that I could have went was not the good way to go. But I prayed about it, and people say, well, I'm crazy, you know. No, I believe God was leading me to go where the way I needed to go. Sometimes He leads us down pathways that we think is a bad way, but He's really just teaching us a lesson about life. But no matter where He leads you, if you're following God, He's going to direct your path. Does not Scripture teach all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose? There's only one happy way to eternity. That's through Jesus. You remove Jesus from your equation, you will spend eternity with Satan in a hell that was created for Satan, wasn't created for you, but for Satan. You will spend eternity there. If you don't believe the word now, one day you will. Don't let that day be too late. Let's stand and have a verse of invitation. I don't know how the word has touched you today, but I pray that it's touched you in a very good way. And I pray that it's opened your eyes.
386, please. 386.